Right. This, tonight, I'm going to share something I've called two of the best words in the Bible, if you could pick out two. And to some of you, my wife especially, this will be familiar. But I want to start in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Be reading, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 verses, something like that. 1 Corinthians 10:13, King James, says, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man." And then there's two words, what I'm calling two of the best words in the Bible. But God.
That's it.
But it says, but God is faithful. No temptation has overtaken you except as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Let's look at another one. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6. And I'll be reading mostly from the King James. If I do change it up, I'll let you know. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. Just to look at some of these great records, where Paul says, "I planted, Apollos watered," and then these two words, Vicki?
But God.
But God gave what? The increase. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And so that's still such a great truth. God's going to deliver us from temptation, right? Because God is faithful, and he will not allow us to be tempted beyond that which we're able. And we can be confident that when we speak the word, live the word, talk the word, minister the word, that God will give the increase. Let's look at Acts 13, start in verse 29. Acts 13, 29. Two of the best words in the Bible. Acts 13, 29. When they had carried out all that was written about him, they took him down from the cross and laid him in a tomb. Kind of a downer, right? Christ had been crucified. They take him down. They laid him in a tomb. But guess what? But God raised him, what? From the dead. But God, it's like all of these things leading up to that point, and then there's those great two words.
But God
raised him. Awesome. Look at Psalm 73:26. Just some great verses here. But God raised him from the dead. When all looked like it was lost, right? Christ crucified, tortured, all these things, laid in a tomb. But God. Psalm 73:26. We used to sing this song, still do. Don Moen sings a version of this song, "God is the Strength of My Heart." Here it is, Psalm 73:26. "My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." My heart, my strength, my flesh may fail. Not may fail, it will fail. But God, he is the strength of my heart, and he is my portion forever. Such wonderful, simple truth, always putting in contrast what has just previously been stated, and then with these two exclamatory words. What are they, Vicki?
But God.
But God. In Genesis 50, verse 20 in the King James. This is a great story about Joseph. Take the time to read it sometime if you haven't or you're unfamiliar with it. But Joseph found himself in a pretty difficult situation. His brothers, his family, they weren't treating him real well, were they? They actually threw him in a pit, and then they sold him. And the story goes on and on and on. But in Genesis 50:20, it says, "You intended to harm me, But God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So what looked like total lemons turned into lemonade, let's say. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. Okay, let's go back to Acts chapter 3. Just reading through some of these records is just so refreshing, because it just sets in contrast what, you know, human strength, human wisdom, human tendencies are, and then, but God. God is the God of the impossible. He makes the impossible possible. And so it raises our vision to function at that level, living in the realm of the miraculous. In our own? No. But God enables us, strengthens us, gives us the wisdom, the knowledge, the ability to walk supernaturally in this senseless world. Acts 3:15 says, "You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead." You killed, probably speaking to the Jews, I'm sure, this is right after Pentecost. He said, "You killed the author of life." And that looked like it could have been the end of that story, the chapter over. But God raised him from the dead. Okay, let's go over to Romans chapter 5, start reading in verse 6. I just love these contrasting concepts that are still very, very simple, but are so powerful and so meaningful. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. "For while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Romans 5, 6 through 8. You got it over there? Still looking?
Well, this is a new.
It's a different version.
Yeah, it's a different
one. Yeah. "For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one heart will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were yet in the darkness, Christ paid the perfect price for us." And boy, if we have a time to celebrate the birth of the promised seed, it would be during this time of the year when everybody else is doing it as well. So we may understand a little bit more of the accuracy of the scriptures, but we praise God that Jesus Christ was born, and that we can celebrate that he did bring something into the world, which was a demonstration of God's great love towards us. Well, a couple more here. Go back to the Old Testament again, 1 Samuel 23. Kind of even cool to see that it's even in the Old. I mean, we kind of limit our scope to the New Testament many times in the church epistles, but it's very sweet to see that these words are utilized in the Old Testament, because, you know, same. Still God. And those people found themselves in some pretty dire circumstances, some pretty dire situations where they needed some help and assistance. And this one talks about David when he was fleeing from Saul. 1 Samuel 23:14 says, "David stayed in the desert strongholds and in the hills of the desert of Ziph. Day after day Saul searched for him, but God did not give David into his hands." There's the contrast. Day after day after day, Saul searched for David because he really wanted to harm him, right? But God didn't open that opportunity for Saul to get to David. He protected David. He watched over David. But God did not give David into his hands. And flip back a couple of chapters there to the very beginning book, Genesis chapter 8. And this is that record about Noah. And we're going to read it a little out of context, but this is in Genesis chapter 8, verse 1 in the NIV. And what I just want to bring to our remembrance are these two words. Genesis 8, 1 in the NIV, New International Version, says, "But God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and the livestock that were with him in the ark, and he sent a wind over the earth, and the waters receded." You know, with that flooding, all these things going on with the ark, all that was going on, 40 days, 40 nights, just surrounded by water, the entire earth was covered with water. It says, but you know, God remembered Noah, and all those animals and livestock that were with him, and he sent a wind over the earth, and the waters, they receded, and the earth was once again exposed. Well, in closing, I want to look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7, a classic verse of all classics, certainly applicable to our administration. I mentioned this as we were getting started in light of what's coming. I wanted to play a couple of songs. This Could Be the Day, that was Ernie Haas and Signature Sound, and then Murphy Me singing I Can Only Imagine, because there is a day coming when this whole life as we know it is going to change. We don't know when he's coming, but we do know that he is coming, okay? Says he'll come like a thief in the night. Bam, it's just going to be over. In the twinkling of an eye, in a moment of time, the dead in Christ will raise, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with the Lord forever, to be forever with the Lord. So whatever that means and whatever that looks like, it's going to be so here we are in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. I'll let Vicki say these first two words. Ephesians 2:4.
Oh my goodness. But God.
But God. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Doesn't that just sound like God?
Yeah.
He's so rich in mercy. And yeah, we know that mercy is not receiving what we do deserve, but it also has a practical side. It's kindness. It's grace in motion. It's the extension of what we understand God has redeemed us from through the work of Jesus Christ. And so then when we see others with a need, we have empathy and we identify that they need something and that we have this heartfelt desire to want to help. That's exactly the way God saw us, that he knew we were needy. But God couldn't really do anything about it until we understood that we were needy too. And at that point, bam, God just moved. And then, of course, it was, but God. We just kind of looked in God's direction, and he would move heaven and earth to get us to this place and point that we're at right now. So never doubt the effect that mercy and God's grace can have upon your heart and life, and also on the heart and lives of other people. And sometimes when you least expect it, See? Great verses, but God. It's two of the most powerful verses. Two are the best words that you will find written in the Bible. But not only two of the best words. These words express such a
great life.
Great God, great life, great, amazing, wonderful, faithful, beautiful. We hardly have words to even describe it. And so that's why we just take the time to read the scriptures. Let the word of God speak for itself. But, boy, God is faithful, but God is faithful. I don't care what's going on in life. Sickness, relationship issues, financial issues. I mean, fill in the blank. Loneliness, despair, depression, discouragement, oppression, whatever these things may be. Those are only giants. You know why? But God is greater than any giant we could possibly face ever. The devil tries to disguise himself as the biggest giant of all. And you know what? He's just, excuse my way of saying it, he's just a punk. Because we are the ones who have the authority, the power, the command in this world in which we live, because God Almighty has given it to us. He demonstrated his love for us in the work of his Son, Jesus Christ. And now, when we say yes, we then can begin to appropriate those things that Christ has given to us, because we are starting to identify fully in our new nature and bye-bye, take off, throw away the old nature. Bye-bye. We want the new nature. But God, he's there fighting for us harder than we're fighting for it. He wants us to have it. Sometimes we just have to let loose of it, let go, quit trying so hard, and then all of a sudden, you know what? We see the grace of God, the goodness of God. We see things happening. It's not about us doing. It's about understanding who we are, what we're being, our being, right? And then we walk in the fruitfulness and the abundance and the grace and those good works that God has ordained before us. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen.
God, you're so kind. You're so good. You're so faithful, and boy, maybe sometimes all we can say is, but God, that you have shown in such a beautiful and historic and yet continuing story, and the future will continue to unfold this beautiful story of redemption and how it plays out, Father, in the days and weeks and moments to come, because we don't know when you will send your Son, but we pray, Father, that we will have our, we'll be ready. And until then, that you will strengthen us and help us to just be the best version of ourselves that we can possibly be. And I thank you, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.